From Capital Analytics, I'm Abby Malone, and this is Invest Insights. Every week, we bring you perspectives, business advice, and more from the leading executives, entrepreneurs, and investors who are building, diversifying, and leading the way in the country's fastest growing metro markets. Real leaders, real insights, right now. These are challenging times. The COVID-19 pandemic has tested our institutions, our businesses, and ourselves in ways many of us could have not predicted. When we started this podcast, we focused on crisis management as the pandemic raged. Season 2 was all about resilience in the face of uncertainty. And our new season will look at what has emerged as the dominating theme of the pandemic, transformation. From products and services and consumer relations to future plans and how these leaders themselves have personally transformed. We'll be going in depth to learn just how much our world has changed. Enjoy.
I'm joined today by Jane Bolin, the mayor of the city of Oakland Park, Florida. Welcome, Mayor Bolin.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
While 2020 was obviously a very challenging year, it did provide the opportunity to reevaluate priorities and address inefficiencies. With this in mind, how has the city transformed in thinking about how it relates to its top priorities, and how is it reflected in the city budget for 2021? For example, are there any capital improvement projects that were postponed or any infrastructure projects that were pushed forward?
Sure. So certainly we didn't anticipate the year that we have, right? So as it started to unfold in 2020, I think that we all knew that there would be a decline in revenue, and we needed to really deal with our budgets right away and look at reducing expenditures and implementing cost savings. So we acted very, very quickly. Temporarily, we reduced our workforce hours and actual salaries by 10%. So it wasn't a full furlough. It was a 10% agreement, and that included the commissioners as well. We stopped doing temporary overtime. We actually went into a hiring freeze. What I think was very interesting is that we actually asked our vendors, so like in collaboration, if they could actually reduce their rates, and they chose to do that by about 20%. And then we pursued, obviously, all the external funding sources through the federal, state, and county level. So this created a really flexible response for us in terms of our budget. And as we prepare and are preparing for 2022, we're looking at how do we remain flexible and how do we keep the finances at a property tax rate our residents will appreciate. And so last year we were able to keep our millage rate at the same amount. So taxes did not change in Oakland Park, and we are one of three cities to do that. Really, I think the theme here for me is flexibility in operations and really looking at how everyone comes together to collaborate to sort of shift responsibilities and do what's necessary to respond to our residents' needs during a pandemic. I mean, again, completely unheard of, that couldn't be anticipated, and I think we did an incredible job being agile as a government.
How is the city of Oakland Park implementing technology to further transform and strengthen the residents' relationship to local governance?
Yeah, so here we are in the world of Zoom. You and yes. I maybe would have sat together and spoken before. So technology is everything right now. So what we've done is we made it very easy for our residents to participate in both our committee meetings and really council meetings by having the ability to put in public comments. We use Zoom a lot. We also have a texting service that allows us to keep people updated. And we really use the fact that everyone is getting more technologically savvy as a way to get our messaging out. And I think there's been more outreach. You've seen that both through our CRA and the use of social media platforms, without a doubt. So when you look at how we communicate across the board, we've integrated technology. Two particular things we did do during this time is we took our permitting process online. So now when you apply for a permit, you can actually do it online and you can see the process all the way through, which I think is a massive improvement. And then obviously paying bills, utility bills, we've made sure that there's a way to do that online completely. And so really no one has to come in contact with another person if they don't want to.
Jane, what have been some more recent tax and financial incentives that the city of Oakland Park has implemented to further transform and strengthen the economic base of the city? And how will these allow the city to remain resilient in the case of another economic crisis?
Well, I think what I said to you before is really important. We kept our millage rate the same. And I think, really providing quality service at the lowest tax rates, it makes a big difference. So what that does is it makes us more competitive in terms of businesses and housing prices. Oakland Park's a really popular choice right now for residents and businesses and investors. So that, I think, at a baseline is really that fiscal management of the budget is the most important thing. We have a downtown CRA, which is not TIF funded by separate taxes, but we did allocate $400,000 to it. And that's, you know, Oakland Parks Community Redevelopment Agency. And what we're doing is we're spending that money to make sure that we create the downtown as a vibrant place where businesses and investors want to come. And I think that all together, that mix is what we're doing to really incentivize people to come to Oakland Park.
This season is about transformation, and we've spoken a lot about how your city has transformed, but I'm sure it's also been a transformative year for yourself. How has 2020 personally transformed you?
It's a great question, and I love the get vulnerable. So as a leader, I don't think I ever imagined I would be leading really through technology. And, you know, I think it's important that we stay in touch with people. I think for myself, the transformation has been actually being more agile. So I've always considered myself somebody who, you know, sort of, I run two other businesses. I'm an entrepreneur, that I consider myself someone who can make change and deal with change quickly, but I've gotten even more agile. And I think, you know, that's important. So residents want a way to reach out to you, and there's 1,500 channels to do that through. I'm trying to make things easier. I just give out my cell phone. I say, you know, text me, call me, let's have a conversation. And I think that sort of balance of how do you create human connection inside of technology is important. And it's something that is transformative. I've never really considered it. And I'm constantly looking at that because we have to remain connected. And people need to feel that from their elected officials. People need to feel that from their city. At the same time, we have to balance keeping people safe. And I don't want to, you know, open up the doors and have, you know, a lot of contact without social distancing. We need to wear masks. All of those things are important. But again, for me, the transformation is inside of that. And it's not complete. You know, I mean, it's an ongoing process. That's what transformation is actually just looking and moving the layers and moving the layers and getting better and better. So that's what it is like for me as a leader.
As an entrepreneur, I wanted to get your opinion. Economic recovery very much relies in entrepreneurs. And yet this past year could have been a huge deterrent for many people. We saw funding, traditional funding, shift a great deal. We see a lot of people deterred to take that risk in such an uncertain time, an unprecedented time. What do you believe is the role of entrepreneurialism in getting us out of this economic downturn? And how can cities and other institutions support entrepreneurialism?
I appreciate that question. So one, I think entrepreneurs are the lifeblood of democracy. And I think it is what entrepreneurs bring to the table. We find solutions where there are not solutions. We're agile, we're willing to sort of proverbially jump off a cliff and build the plane. And so when you're in an environment like this, you know, you separate the cream from the wheat. I mean, certainly it's been difficult. And I have friends that had to close the doors of their businesses. But they didn't just close their doors, they're reinventing themselves. And that's what an entrepreneur does. You know, we fail thousands of times and then come back. So I think, you know, at this point in time, what can we do? We can support incubators. We can make sure that we have the education out there, that we're giving them basics around PPP, the CARES Act, what kind of funding is available. At the county level, we do have some revolving loan funds that the county is providing. And I think as we find more and more of those opportunities, we just have to make sure that all of our businesses and entrepreneurs know about that. And I think it's important to continue to spark innovation now. This is not the time to say, you know, stop the ideas. In fact, this is the time to say, we need to ideate as much as possible. So again, having those conversations, creating those community forums, even if, you know, we're a city of under 50,000, which means we're not earmarked for a lot of federal funds, we don't have the same resources, but that doesn't mean that we can't make a difference. And I think, you know, particularly for the city of Oakland Park, we took our SCORE relationship and really, you know, we sort of rose up to the level and said, let's get out as much information to the entrepreneurs and business owners in our community as possible. And that's, there can always be something that can be done. And I think if everybody's on the same page, that it is the entrepreneurs that, you know, really, it's the mom and pop shops. I mean, we make a huge impact when it comes to employment and in services. Yeah, keep your eyes on the entrepreneurs, make sure that they have what they need. It may not always be the funds that you have, but you can provide them expertise, and that's critical.
You've been listening to Invest Insights. Be sure to follow, rate, and review this podcast to hear more. I'm Abby Maloney. Thank you for tuning in.